Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Oh, it's 11 o'clock at night. It's a Monday. I'm short of breath and hungover. Phil, you're probably the same. And we're a man down. But we're going to do this anyway because we're professionals-ish.
Yes, in the loosest possible sense of the word professional, given the other elements of the introduction that you've just given.
Yeah.
So, JB, can you tell me why you are short of breath, blurry-eyed, a little cloudy of thought?
Well, my Odyssey started on... when did it start? It started on Thursday.
You were at the races on Thursday, weren't you?
Yeah, so, interesting. I went to the races on Thursday, Chester Races, and who would be there?
Some of the sail boys?
The wholesale coaching team.
Really?
So I'm walking down the tunnel. There's like a tunnel underneath the course. And the sail coaches are walking towards me. And the combined look of disappointment that I happened to be there was just... It was huge. Do you want to know a Steve Diamond fact?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes.
He loves the races.
Yeah.
He doesn't gamble.
Does he not?
Nope. No gambling. Doesn't like it.
He just likes the drinking and hanging out with the boys.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. I like going for a drink with these boys, and that's it. Don't bet. So I had all of. I tried to keep it very, very short before he got short with me. I had literally about 30 seconds of hello, and then I scurried off like the weasel I am.
Now I've seen two videos online recently. One at Ascot. I'm not sure where.
Are these the fighting videos?
Yeah. Two of the worst fighting videos I've seen
now,
at the races.
When you say worst, there's one which is particularly horrific.
With the kick to the head on the floor.
But I could also interpret the worst as being like the worst standard of fighting. Because there was one, it was ridiculous. It looked like the fight from Love Actually.
Well, just worst as in awful, awful scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the kind of thing you would expect to see it with that kind of well-heeled event.
Yeah, well, thankfully, Steve Diamond wasn't fighting, and neither were any of the coaches.
Good.
But they were in tremendous suits.
Good.
There is that.
So, after your Thursday, what else have we been doing?
Oh, yeah, and then we went on a stag do, yes, this weekend to Krakow, which has been particularly harsh on the old body. But we did get to watch some quality rugby.
We did.
And we did get to practice this podcast over and over again at differing levels of drunkenness. So this is actually just a repeat of conversations we've already had.
Yes. And we'd had a few beers when we watched the game. Have you had the chance yet to go back and rewatch it?
I have. I managed to watch... No, I've not rewatched the final. I have watched the Gloucester versus Blues final.
Yeah.
Which was quite some game.
Oh, if you just look at the spectacle of the games in isolation, the Racing Leinster game is not one for the ages.
No, it's not.
There was a lot of errors on both teams. It was very... it was always going to be like that, a very close call. The Gloucester-Cardiff game was a brilliant game. Some sensational tries. And the storyline as well, for Gloucester to go 20 points to 6 up, and look comfortable, look like they were going to walk it, but then Cardiff to come back, Gloucester to reclaim the lead, and then Cardiff to win at the end.
I know, just like How do Gloucester do it? Like, genuinely, how do they do it?
How do they conspire to
just throw away everything?
Yeah.
They're going to have some interesting time. I mean, let's just link this. Let's talk about it now because we're here. They've just signed Danny Cipriani.
They have.
Right. This feels a little bit to me like when Newcastle United went out and signed, what's his name? The Colombian. Faustino
Asprilla, yeah.
Like, Danny Cipriani is going to make a massive difference to whichever team that he plays in. Is he going to fix Gloucester's underlying fundamental problems, though?
Well, if you're talking about mental fortitude, in fact, he might add... mental weakness, he might add to their problems.
I don't know. He's definitely going to make them better. I'm just not sure if he can make them... that much better with what he does. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, the guy he was replacing is actually quite Cipriani-esque.
Well, Billy Bird, the cross kick for the Trinder try,
yeah,
was exceptional. Yeah. It was absolutely brilliant.
I don't know what they're going to do there. Because you're going to have Burns, who is a very skillful, very, very good fly half, not dissimilar, actually, in the way he plays to Danny Cipriani. Danny Cipriani, who is literally just the master of that sort of play.
Yeah.
And then you've got to find somewhere for Owen Williams, who is on something like £300,000 to £400,000 there.
What? Is he on that much?
Yes. So how do you make all these things combine?
Yeah.
You can move one of them to 12. There's not going to be those two 10s. It must be Owen Williams. But then what about Atkinson?
Yeah, and 12 Trees is having one of his best seasons.
And Trinder.
Well, Trinder's been moved out to the wing.
Yeah.
Because 12 Trees and Atkinson are playing so well.
So, and, you know, if they get Van Rensburg, just an embarrassment of riches. I can't understand how they are getting all these players inside the cap.
Yeah, good point. Well, they've got some gaps, haven't they, in their squad?
Well, yeah. So,
and they've got some very young, talented back rowers,
yeah.
But they're probably not spending as much.
I guess so. Afoa's on his way, and he costs a lot.
Yeah.
Hibbard's on his way, he costs a lot.
He costs a lot.
So maybe they'll have the cap. Like, surely you want to be replacing a hooker and a tight head prop before getting yet another 10 into an already hugely talented stable of Gloucester players. But actually, let's not talk about Gloucester any longer because it was all about Cardiff.
Well, neither of us predicted
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Blues. It was all about the Blues.
The Blues.
That's their name.
The Cardiff Blues.
No, I think it's just Blues now.
Just Blues, is it? No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Anyway. For them to come back in the manner that they did was exceptional. And I just didn't see it. I didn't see it before the game. When they were 20 points down, I definitely didn't see it.
Yep.
Almost when they would, as it was going on, as it was happening, I didn't see it. But they did it.
Yep.
And fair play.
So the weird thing about the whole season that Cardiff have had, well, first of all, they didn't really do much in the Pro 14.
Yeah,
they lose their coach midway through the season, who in actually the worst way possible, which is just announcing that you're leaving with no actual place to go after that. I mean, he has subsequently found work, but, you know...
I'm just getting out, guys.
It was almost a case that he was offered to stay and he said, no, I would rather take my chances on the open market with no job. And he did. And then I think about Cardiff as an... Blues as an organisation. And they just feel like they're... a team primarily as, you know, they're just like a holding company for WRU assets. you never see Warburton.
Or, yeah, holding company or somewhere where you put them out to pasture.
Yes, a retirement home slash holding company.
Yeah.
So it's remarkable because not only did they turn around, like, once Wilson announced that he was leaving, they seemed to have played better and better and better. Towards the end, they were putting pressure on the better teams in oh, can you hear something?
Yeah.
It's gone then.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, and then they go and win the European Challenge Cup. So, hats off to you. Very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thoroughly deserved in the end.
Now, this is in stark contrast, wasn't it, to the previous game? The later game.
Yes.
I like this on account that it was more for the purist. You really have to appreciate your rugby to enjoy. What I actually thought was quite an awesome display by both teams. I know they, what's his name, prop Kean Healy said it's like winning a fight without landing a punch.
Yeah,
which is a fairly good analogy. But I think lots of punches were made. It was a brutal, grinding game.
Yeah, it was brutal, and it is testament to both teams that they were able to shut out the two most successful teams, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It really does show the kind of the quality of their performance. I was very impressed with the way that both teams defended and the pressure they put on, if not the kind of ability to cope with that pressure and attack, if that makes sense.
Yes. I also think Yannick Nianga is a hero.
He is.
He's an amazing, amazing player.
Yeah.
Now, I thought, so obviously I'm not paying much attention to the French, like the French leagues that often. I always thought of him more of a seven. I also thought, has he had some sort of prolonged period of injury?
Not that I'm aware.
Because I remember him at Biarritz. I'm sure he was at Toulouse for a time.
Yeah.
But he wasn't prominent in like the French setup. It's not like he's got a million caps to his name.
No. No, he's got 40. He's 34, only 46 caps. He has got more than 250 appearances for Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
God, he's got nearly 400 appearances.
Yeah, I can't believe he's not played more international rugby. Because he's obviously been fit. He's got 400 appearances.
Yeah.
And he's an absolute animal.
Yeah, he's a brilliant player. Yeah, it was from their perspective, they'll be disappointed that they didn't capitalise on some of the opportunities, some of the chances that they had. Wrestling, this is.
Yes.
I thought their young scrum half, I say young, Iberian?
Yes, I know. How do you say his name?
Yeah. Iribarin.
Good enough.
Close enough.
Teddy.
Absolutely.
Teddy. Iberian.
Teddy.
The only team world rugby with two Teddies.
Yeah. I thought he stepped up to the occasion brilliantly.
Yes.
This isn't Machinode. What's going on?
Yeah, so that's a big ask for any player, because Machinode is probably the world's best scrum half.
He's right up there, and to have the responsibility of kicking on your shoulders as well.
I thought maybe that's just a French thing. Maybe you're the nine, you kick.
Yeah. But it's not. So they've obviously got Lambie and then Thales, who can both kick.
What was the crack with Carter? Do we know?
I assume just injured. Or failed a fitness test and didn't make it, but I don't know because we watched in an Irish was it an Irish bar?
Yeah, the Bull
English bar.
It's definitely English.
Yeah, but obviously because we were kind of boozing with the boys, no commentary, so we kind of missed the whole what happened with Dan Carter.
It feels to me like because he was meant to be there, he wasn't there. That they kept that fairly close to the chest, although, like I say, I don't know because I wasn't listening to the commentary.
Yeah, yeah.
So, congratulations, Leinster, for a remarkable team. They're so boring, though. And I don't mean this like I don't mean their rugby. I mean the way that everything works. They're all good. There's no drama about them. They just relentlessly win.
Oh no! So there's a couple of other storylines on this.
Go on.
The Stuart Lancaster storyline.
Lazarus. Lazarus, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, redemption for Lancaster.
Yeah.
Which was brilliant. And everyone from in and around the Leinster camp speaking about Lancaster could not be more positive about the impact that he's had. I've seen stuff with Heaslip, seen stuff with Bod. Sexton called him a special coach in the post-match interview.
Thing is, though, I mean, I get it, right? Would he be a special coach if they were losing, though?
Well, yeah, but they're not losing.
Yeah, but, I'm not sure I could lead Leinster to a European Cup final. But we'd get to the semis. I mean, seriously, I would get that team to the semis.
Well, so the other storyline is despite the probably disappointment in the final, just how good Leinster have been in the Champions Cup this season.
Yes.
Their Champions Cup campaign has been exceptional. To beat Montpellier, Glasgow and Exeter twice in the group stages, to beat them all twice, and then to go on and very comfortably beat Saracens, and then put Scarlets to the sword. It has been a truly remarkable
campaign.
Are
you aware that this was the first game in the Heineken Cup, as it will be known next year?
I did see a tweet about it.
Yeah, well, let's call it. Let's stick with the Heineken Cup. That was the first game Leinster had not scored a try, or was it?
Oh, yeah, in this year's competition.
Yeah.
Does not surprise me. Yeah, they've been. Their whole campaign has been brilliant, and it's so. Leo Cullen actually referenced Toulouse.
Really?
So Toulouse, four-time champions.
Yeah.
As now Leinster are, but he said they're almost learned the lessons, or learning the lessons. I'm paraphrasing here, but learning lessons from the mistakes of Toulouse, who have not won it for 10 years now.
Something like that, yeah. But I mean, how do you learn the mistakes of Toulouse? I mean, how do you?
So I don't know, but I thought it was an interesting comparison because they'd not won it for 6 years, Leinster.
Is that right?
Yeah, 2012. Because it's been the Toulon then Saracens dominance since then.
Oh yeah, it would have been.
And it's almost it's a long time for a team like Leinster.
So they were listing some boys today who've got four European Cups now.
Yeah.
So people like Sexton have got four European Cups. Yeah. Mega. Absolutely mega.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite something. The Toulouse one. So when they say learn the lessons, what are the lessons? That you get all the best players in Ireland and put them into a team?
Well, yeah. So,
I mean, all the best players in France in one team would be. I mean, that basically was Toulouse. So the lessons they learn is don't play in a league or in a competition. Or Racing.
Or Clermont.
Yeah. Done. Job done.
Or someone like Altrad, who can just...
Oh, yeah, of course, because they're not even the... Montpellier are the team seems to be at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that... I mean, if that's the lesson and they've taken heed of that, great. I'm not sure...
Fair play.
Could take that lesson.
Absolutely.
And the other storyline, if there was one?
Well, it was the two. It was the Lancaster and the... They're learning from the mistakes. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about someone else who's continuing learning. The England squad was out, and the biggest surprise of all, Cameron Redpath.
Cameron Redpath
is now got injured.
Is astonishing.
Yes,
it is genuinely astonishing. So, you're not a Sale fan.
No,
but,
I'm not. No.
But you know a lot about Sale.
I know bits and pieces.
How many times have you seen him play?
I have seen Cameron Redpath play a total number of 0 times competitively.
Yeah.
Because I see him a lot at training. I see him a lot. I see him as much as anyone else in training. So, and that's if he's in.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's still at Sedbergh, right?
That is correct.
So he can't be training all that much.
Yeah, they've got to balance out his schoolwork and everything else, which is just... ridiculous, isn't it? Balancing out your schoolwork so you can go and play international rugby.
Well, yes.
It was stupid.
This step up is astonishing. It reminds me of Matt Tate in terms of the timing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. So I think there's more things than meet the eye going on here, right? In fact, I think there's loads of stuff going on. So first of all, let's just address the Cam Redpath thing. He is a very good player. The Sale coaches describe him as the best youngster that they have coached. Right, so pretty highly regarded.
Yeah.
Go and follow the Twitter account of Alex Shaw Sport. He knows everything about young lads. Young lads coming through. He's highlighted him many times. So that's fine. So this sort of reminds me, right? And I'm torn here because there is definitely an element of union politics coming into play.
Yeah.
We've got a situation where Leeds were coached by Brian Redpath.
Yeah.
Brian Redpath told me on my podcast, right, on my podcast, and to anyone who would interview him, that he's leaving rugby because he just wants a full-on change. He just wants to scrap it, walk away, do something completely different. So he did was doing foreign currency exchange for a some number of about 6 months.
Yeah. Right,
when then he got recruited as a Scottish under-21s coach. Now, I wonder why that might be. I mean, I wonder why he might be in that role, like Malinder and Farrell and Ford and Grayson.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does help if your dad's in the coaching setup.
Yeah. It helps your dad if your son's in the playing setup.
Yeah, I mean, forget being a good player. What I need is a good son.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that massively, massively helps. And I think it's England making an early power grab for him.
Wait, England making an early power grab for Cam Redpath?
Cameron Redpath, that's when they put him in the senior squad. Yeah. And if it is, I mean, that's weird. Because you shouldn't be using the national places. I mean, it's only one guy at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if that is what they are doing, it compromises everything, really, because it cheapens the shirt. It does, you know, it's just not a good look.
And it's one guy who's 18.
I mean, I've no idea if he's going to be that good. Yeah. He might be.
He might be. There are lots of very high potential athletes at 18 who don't make it.
Yeah.
Or who certainly don't fulfil the potential that someone or several people think they have.
Exactly right. So, mad, like, not a single minute of Premiership rugby, I think. He was on the bench against Newcastle.
Was he?
Yeah. But there is a flip side to this, which, for all of Eddie Jones's faults, he has one remarkable talent, and that is identifying talent very early doors.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no two ways about it. He is very good at that. So, Matt Gitto played his first international game before he played for his club. Obviously, he spotted Gary Graham, who?
Yeah.
Turns out a bloody good player.
Gary Graham, who had like 3 games of club rugby at Newcastle.
Not even people that played with Gary Graham knew he was this good. So how Eddie Jones knew is beyond me.
Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith is a great example.
Yeah.
And it seems every time he picks a player like this, it turns out well. So I hope that this will continue, but we will see. I've got a feeling it's more along the lines of inviting Vallecott to England.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Camp rather than a genuine call-up. I can't see Cam Redpath starting against South Africa.
So let's assume his last game was Sedbert versus Kirkham or someone like that.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're playing against South Africa in South Africa. The step up and standard between those two things is...
No, I played Kirkham. And I've never played South Africa, right? But I can tell you right now, it's vastly different.
It's incomprehensible how different those two standards are. It's incredible.
Yeah. Good luck to him, man. I hope he is the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Now there are a few other.
I thought there was only Cameron Redpath that was called up.
What?
I thought that was all the international news.
It's a one-man squad.
Yeah.
No, there were a few other interesting call-ups.
Uh-huh.
In the same position, one of the possible positions of Cam Redpath.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting one.
Because I was assuming he's a 10, but I don't actually know. I've seen him listed as a versatile back that can play centre.
Yes, you're absolutely right, mate. So, he is a 10 originally.
Yeah.
Right? But Sale have a lad called Kieran Wilkinson who plays 10 for them.
Yep.
And Cam Redpath is so talented that they've got him around the field.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible bit of news for Cam Redpath.
Yeah.
Terrible. Because you're going to end up like James Hook.
Or Austin Healey.
No, Austin Healy's class.
Austin Healey was class, but Austin Healey didn't go to the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. But he
actually missed out on the World Cup because of his versatility.
Yeah, but he actually made it work for a long time. Like he could. Difference was, Austin Healey could play anywhere and play it remarkably well.
Yeah.
Whereas James Hook couldn't. Like they're always trying to fit him into the team. And
yeah.
It just never really happened for him. Henry Slade, that's a more personal example.
Yeah, that is a very good example actually.
So. Yeah, they play him at 12 or they play him at 15.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have to settle down and pick a place. So yes, there you go, 12 or 15.
Yeah, and Harry Mallander's another one that's got the risk of being too
tall. He wants to be a 15.
Yeah, but is 15 his best position?
I think 12.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
Anyway, so the other news. So Cipriani.
Yep.
In... justified by his performances this year.
100%.
Luke Carrondickie in.
Okay.
Johnny Hill in.
Good.
Now, there's a few people who are out through being rested. Dan Cole and Danny Kerr were mentioned.
Fine.
Haskell's not in the squad.
Nope.
But Haskell's not in the squad. Gary Graham's not in the squad. Mark Wilson is in the squad, along with Tom Curry.
Good.
And then Dan Robson and Ben Spencer both make the squad.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So Ben Spencer hasn't kicked on as far as I'd like him to.
No. I think he has to play. So, I think he often plays the kind of Wigglesworth type role when he plays in Saracens. Which doesn't necessarily suit his game.
Yeah.
But when he can cut loose in some of their big victories, he is a very dangerous runner.
Yeah. Danny Cipriani. Let's talk more about Danny Cipriani.
So we spoke about his move.
Yeah.
He's also been named on the Aviva Premiership Player of the Year.
Good.
Panel or shortlist this year. Again, fully justified.
This tells me a couple of things, right? First and foremost, I wonder if the Six Nations team that England put out is the last incarnation of that team under Jones. So I think England teams going forward now are going to look very, very different. And I think that's that's driven by lots of things. Part of that will be the Jones effect after 2 years absolutely wearing down those lads to the point that they're no longer as effective as they were at international rugby. I think that's pretty obvious when you watch them play. So they could have a bit of a bounce back now. As they all come back into the... As all these new faces come into the team, they all want to impress. They can operate at that level that Jones demands. Now, they might not be quite as good as the guys that they're replacing, but they will be able to put up with that high tempo and that high-pressure environment for another 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think, especially people like Johnny Hill, Carrondickie, never been exposed to that level of rugby before. Now's the time.
And there's a couple of other guys. So we referenced him last week. Jack Willis is in. Alongside another bit of a controversy that made some headlines of Brad Shields.
Don't like it.
Called up, selected.
I think it's pathetic. I do. I think it's stupid.
What, Brad Shields coming in?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say anything about this. It's almost like... It's like a bad culture thing. Like, they have ignored someone like John O'Ross. They've ignored a guy like Haskell, who has been one of England's best back rowers, I think, for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
There's a load of reasons why you don't do this, but ultimately it's just a bit of a kick in the nuts to all the lads who are behind him. So,
Don Armand, your Gary Graham.
Yeah, exactly. Don Armand. Why is he not?
So, John O'Ross, interestingly, because they've got the South Africa squad that we've just been running through. They've then got the Brighton training squad, which is those who are in that South Africa squad. There you go.
Yep.
It's those who are in that South Africa squad and aren't in the playoffs. and then some other lads who aren't in the playoffs to kind of supplement them. So John O'Ross does make the Brighton training squad. Along with, well, there's lots.
Marlon Yard got called up today.
Yeah, so Marlon Yard and Trinder.
Trinder.
For the injured, it's almost unbelievable to be saying this, the injured Cameron Redpath and Ben Loader.
Ben Loader's another one.
Yeah.
Ben Loader's meant to be brilliant.
Yeah, he's got his first try, and he's, I think it was his first start in the Viva.
So
last week or 2 weeks ago.
Give me a second.
Done.
Right. So there is a little bit more news which we've not spoke about. One of the England players who didn't make it but has made previous training squads has gone on loan. Joe Cocker-Singer has gone to Bath for an alleged $240,000.
Ooh, big money.
It is, particularly when you know not
unproven.
When you're proven not to be proven, which is exactly what he is at the moment. So that's a bit of a joke actually. Ben Loader's meant to be some real talent.
Very talented, yeah.
I even heard that he was on his way to Sale.
Really?
Yeah, I did, but never materialised. Again, another guy who you can't even find his profile on the London Irish website. Or at least you couldn't when I looked him up.
Yeah. There has been some. We've touched on a little bit of the news, the transfer news. Because this is only going to be a relatively short podcast.
Yes.
Shall we? So Wasps have done a lot of business this week.
Don't know any of these boys that they're bringing in, though. Do you?
So they brought in. So they've released Sippers and Haskell. Two big names.
Yeah.
They've brought in Charlie Matthews, not so big a name.
Yeah.
The Enforcer. They've then brought in five or six guys from the Championship. The only one that I know is Michael Le Bourgeois.
Yes, he's Jersey, was he?
He was Jersey, yeah. He's been at Bedford Blues. Now this, releasing two England internationals, highly paid in Sippers and Haskell,
yeah,
potentially not always available,
yeah,
and going for five or six Championship lads, it's got a feel of a Moneyball play.
Yes, it does.
Whether it's successful or not will be another story.
Well, yes, a bit multifaceted this, because I actually think. We'll talk about the Hask deal in a second. But both the Cipriani and the Haskell deals strike me as money ball plays, and the first time really we've seen the salary cap have an effect on teams.
Yeah.
So and also players not being able to command the wages that they thought because teams are full up.
Yeah.
So teams have now got to honour the contracts of the players that they've already got, and then offload
them.
Yeah. Or offload them.
Because another one, Kyle Eastmond.
Yeah.
So there's three big internationals who all three of them will be on big money.
Yeah, so Kyle Eastmond reminds me of a lot of Wesley Snyder. Do you remember the footballer went to Galatasaray? Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone said, oh, well, he'll come over to United, or he'll come over here.
Yeah.
And then I was always followed up by, oh, yeah, he comes with big wages. Now, I would love to be in the situation where, despite whatever I do on a rugby field or a football field, I'm just known as the guy that commands big wages. Whether I'm worth it or not, irrelevant. He just commands big wages. Kyle Eastmond is the same sort of player. Commands big wages. I mean, you wouldn't have thought so looking at his last 2 years, but he is an expensive player.
Yeah.
Now, he'll have to go to France. If he wants to get anything like the money he thinks he's worth, well, he's going to have to go to France.
Well, the interesting one with Kyle Eastmond was he re-signed for Bath on what was supposed to be something like 330.
He was going to be Bath's highest paid player.
Yeah. And was it after Ford went?
Yes.
They said, well, we don't think you're worth it.
And they might be right.
Possibly. I mean, well, yeah. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
Is he worth...
If he's on the field, he should be the highest paid player on the field, probably, or one of the two or three. But he's not on the field enough.
Yeah.
So he's not worth it. And so this is when you're going to see teams make these decisions that maybe they want five guys who will play more than one guy who doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Or if those five or six guys, if they get two of them, so those five or six will be on considerably less in total than Eastmond, Hask and Sippers.
Yeah.
considerably less.
Yeah, so the average Premiership wage now apparently is £158,000.
Is that just the salary cap divided by the number of players?
Don't know. Steve Diamond told me.
£158,000. It feels a bit low, that, to me.
He says that's the average wage.
Okay.
So Sale, just so you know, have got a higher average wage, but less players, and that's how they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And no contact in training, so they can continually field the best players.
Yeah.
And end up in seventh.
or eighth.
Or awkward. even worse. So it also could be linked, couldn't it, to Wasps' alleged money issues.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is the other angle here. And if it is, that's not so good.
No. No. But it'll be interesting, because we love I want to say rags to riches, but that's not the right phrase, but someone coming from the Championship or lower and stepping up to the higher level.
Do you know what? I'm convinced, right, if I got a Championship, the best team the Championship has to offer, put them into a Premiership team, they would be absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. And the reason that I think that is, it's just the opportunity. I mean, loads of these lads have been in the Championship anyway. If you look at so many, Mark Atkinson, Will Griff John, who hasn't missed a tackle since 1997.
Since records began,
yeah. There's loads of examples of these guys coming up, and it's just about the opportunity, the environment, and getting into the right club with the right support.
Yeah.
I think that these guys will be fine as long as Wasps are, coaching properly.
Which is something you've highlighted in the past.
Exactly.
So, the Aviva Premiership Player of the Year. Sippers made the shortlist.
Yeah.
Have you seen the other nominations?
Let me guess them. Marcus Smith.
No.
Vaniki Gonover.
Gonover, yeah.
Don Armand,
yes.
Although not as good as he was last season.
That might be fair, actually.
Yeah, it's still very good.
He's still very, very good.
Who else? A prop of some sort.
No props. So you've got... there's two to get. Neither of them are from playoff teams.
John O'Ross?
Nope.
What? That's outrageous.
Nope.
That's offensive.
Think someone close to John O'Ross. Not positionally.
Ruan Ackerman?
Nope. In terms of team. And
one of the Currys?
No.
Josh Dross?
And nationality?
Don't know.
Faf?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the final one is probably the most surprising. Is Northampton's Jamie Gibson.
I can see that.
I can see it. I think he's a very good player in a poor team. But Northampton have been such a poor team.
Yeah, Jamie Gibson is the sort of person that you'd pick if you really, really know your rugby. Because his line-out work is superb. In fact, when he came up to the AJ Bell, I think it was this season, he completely ruined Sale's line-out, which is usually pretty good. Like, he just runs the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. Excellent, in fact. I always thought he was going to be an absolute superstar when he scored the last-minute try for London Irish against Leicester Tigers.
Yeah.
I can't remember when that was. But he did score, and he was like 19. I thought, this kid. And then he got signed by Tigers.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Be interesting to see. Any expected winner from that?
I think... Faf.
Could be Faf.
No one has done more for their team than Faf.
Sippers has been brilliant this year.
Sippers has been bloody good. I still think Faf.
I mean, in terms of raw talent and how different he is.
Yes.
There's no one like Faf.
It's like when you watch old videos of Jonathan Davis playing.
Yeah.
And he just starts fly hacking it for no reason that anyone can understand, and he scores a try. You think, bloody hell. You can't coach that. There is no decision tree which leads you to that conclusion. I must fly hack this this ball until I score.
Another bit of news.
Yes, please.
Do you see who's going to be Bath's attack coach for next year?
Yeah, I know nothing about him, really. So I know who Gervin Dempsey is, obviously. I obviously think Leinster are a great team. Whilst,
yeah, and it's interesting that there's been a lot of talk about the Leinster coaching setup recently, and he didn't really feature in any of those conversations. But from those people in the know and talking about kind of the work that he does behind the scenes, he's got a very good write-up.
Has he?
Since this has been announced, yeah.
Yeah, so dear, well, coaching is interesting at the moment because obviously he's one in there. There's a lot of talk about Blackadder not hanging around.
Yeah.
Although maybe getting into Europe has papered over those cracks somewhat in the short term.
Yeah.
Who are the next potential directors of rugby who aren't directors of rugby?
Ooh. Good question.
So for me, there's a couple of guys that stand out. Alex Sanderson.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be like front of the queue.
Does he... So it's interesting. Do they want to, though?
Do they want a DOR, like a new DOR in?
Well, no. Do the people who are very, very good coaches or specialist coaches, do they always want to?
I think the answer is yes, right? Because they're all ego-driven.
Yeah.
Right, so the smartest thing in the world, right, would be to never to only do defence coaching. And, you know, when your team's not doing so well, bring in some Wolves, tell them to increase their line speed. Has there ever been a defensive problem that can't be solved with more line speed?
More line speed or get a wild animal to training.
Yeah, yeah. Get tighter at the breakdown, line speed. Don't get beat. Yeah, we never get beaten on the inside.
Yeah.
And we increase our line speed continually until it can't be increased any more. And then we'll work out how to increase it further.
Yeah.
So, you know, just things like that. We build up a mega reputation. Maybe have one of the really good paying... So the key job in rugby, the one you really want, is defence coach part-time for an international team. Like Sean Edwards, perfect.
Yeah.
Been doing the job for 10 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was the question?
Well, the question was, who are the next...
So Sean Edwards was mentioned as one.
Farrell has been mentioned as one.
Farrell could be a DOR tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just like a figurehead.
Again, does he want to be? Because I would have thought, these are names. Like, Sean Edwards, does he want to be? He did it for Wasps for a period, didn't he?
Ian McGeachan, I think, was the... No, hang on, was it?
After Gatland.
Gatland, yeah, I think he was the head coach for a bit.
The one that I never saw coming, because I didn't even know who he was, Dan McFarland.
Who?
Ulster.
Oh, right.
The new boy.
What, has he been appointed?
He was appointed a few weeks ago.
Where's he from?
The Glasgow guy.
Oh, sorry, I do know that. Oh, interesting. No, he was Scotland. Was he not Scotland? Glasgow, Scotland?
Glasgow and Scotland. Yeah, he was Connacht before that.
That's the one. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. There must be some others out there, because I don't think it's particularly successful just retreading old DORs.
Yeah.
Like, Mike O'Connor's not been a raging success.
No.
And there's a lot of guys out there doing a lot of good work.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Right.
Well, we're on 41 minutes.
Anything else we want to talk about?
So
we will get a preview podcast ahead of the Aviva Premiership.
Oh, yes.
Semi-finals when Cocker is available.
Yeah, we'll get...
Later in the week.
Another proper podcast with a professional on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We might even have someone from Glasgow Warriors calling in.
Interesting.
That could be fun. Oh, and I can tell the story about how... I got attacked at the Broughton Park dinner.
You went to the Broughton Park. You gate crashed the Broughton Park dinner.
Do you not know this?
No.
Yeah. So Friday night, I had a few beers with you lads.
Yeah.
And literally on my street on the way home, I thought, you know what? I wouldn't mind one or two more beers. About 9 o'clock, I thought I'll just nip into Broughton Park and say hi. And within about 2 minutes, I had some drunken thug. who coaches the first team, swinging a punch at me.
Really?
Yeah. Good work.
Very good.
Absolute garden variety thug. Anyway, I'll tell you that story in detail.
In more detail.
More detail.
Yeah.
tomorrow when we'll have Cocker back and all those things. I'll do my little sign-off thing now, which is go follow us on Apple Podcasts. We're there. Leave us a review, because we do love reading your reviews.
Yeah, we've not done any reviews for a while, actually.
No. And, of course, as always, we are on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. So, until tomorrow, and we'll have a much better podcast for you, let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.